Good morning to everyone. Appreciate each one that's here this morning, including our visitors. We always appreciate people coming to meetings. It's a big evangelize for a number of years, and it's always a great blessing when you're at an tent meeting or revival meeting and some new folks walk in. You wasn't expecting to be there. It's always a great blessing. Get to meet new people. All right, I have a subject on my heart. It's been on there about all week. and we have preached on this subject down through the years. He's added to it and changed it around some. He's done that again this time. So we desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to get out what He wants. I was asking the Lord one time when He was dealing with me to preach. I'm kind of a curious fella. And I was asking Him, I was walking across a parking lot, grocery store there not too far from where we lived. And I said, Lord, I said, what am I going to be, a pastor, an evangelist? And He told me real plain, He said, I want you to preach what I give you. Well, he had to answer double, so to speak. If he had told me I was going to do both, if he told me that, it might have scared me anyway. So I thought He answered me very clearly. Some ministers, about four or five of us, talking up in Wichita, and I told them, I said, I've endeavored to do that down through the years. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're bringing out a doctrine of the Bible. I guess you could call it a doctrine. Maybe a way, maybe it'd be a better way to put it. Let's go to Jeremiah 10 and 23. Again, we need your prayers. Lord, have mercy on us. It said here, 10:23 of Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then Psalms 37 and 23, and a connecting scripture here on that. Psalm 37 and 23. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, what I want to deal with this morning.
Please reach one back.
What? Led by the Spirit. And the first scripture over here in Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then in Psalms over here, it brings out the point that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Now, number one, people get saved and live for the Lord, and they want to do what's right. But the bottom line, we don't have the wisdom. We don't have the understanding to direct ourselves as the way we should, totally. So consequently, we need the Lord to help us. We need Him to work with us. It's not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then he says over here, he said, the steps of a good man. Now, the good man, those that are living for God, those that are working, doing the things that God would have them to do. It said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Today, Lord, help you and I to allow the Lord to order our steps, to work with us, to call us, to do what he would have us to do, go where he would have us to go. This thing gets down to even passing out tracts. It gets down to some what you say, close places in a sense. I'm not talking about preaching all the time, but the Lord wants to lead people and guide them. He wants them where He needs them to be because He's got a plan and He's working and He's reaching out and He's calling and He's dealing. And you and I don't have any idea of the broad plan. We can see it and extend. You can see things. But the bottom line is God has a broad plan and He has people out there and He's trying to reach and deal with. All right, 8 and 14 of the good book of Romans. 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we may suffer, that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, it said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Lord, help us to do this. Help us to be interested and desire to be led by His Spirit. Well, somebody told me one time, said, well, I don't want to be a robot. I said, I'm not a robot. I said, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm just doing what He's interested in me doing. Have I ever missed on a leading? Yes, I have. And you probably have too. But the bottom line is the Lord has a desire, has a will for you and I that we would desire to be led so much by His Spirit that the Lord can take us and use us up and say, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. There's a lot of people led by the Spirit of God that are not preachers. One of them, one time, Sister Etta Davis, her husband, Bodney, I believe his name was, he was very sick. And he could have died. And maybe laying on his deathbed. And they were there. And day after day after day. And the Lord spoke to a little woman. And He told this little woman, He said, I want you to go pray with him. Pray for him. Anoint him and pray for him. She wasn't a preacher. She was just a common little saint. And so she went. I think she called, taught Sister Etta first before she came. She said, come, fine, come on. And she did. She was led. She had a burden. The man was sick. He had been a great blessing to people. And he was possibly on his deathbed. And the Lord's telling a little lady, instead of Brother Darius Gibson, Brother Leslie, Brother Fred Pruitt, maybe they went to pray for him. But he wasn't healed. And this little lady went by. They greeted her, took her back into the bedroom. They visited for a while. She anointed him and prayed for him, and he was healed. He was healed. She would let see. Listen today, Lord, help us to be on where God wants us to be at His time. There's a time and there's a way and there's a season. And the Lord needs us where He wants us to be. So by He can take us and use us to bless souls. For many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Oh, today, Lord, help us to be that. All right, now then I want to get into a new part of my burden, so to speak. I want Luke, the fourth chapter and the first verse. Luke 4 and 1. This is in two or three places, or maybe four in the New Testament. And Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. All right, then I want to go to John 4 and 34. John 4 and 34. It says here, let's go 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. For he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you were entered into their labors. Now the Lord, all right, let's go two more places. Go back to Luke 6 and 12. Luke 6 and 12. It said here, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. All right, I'm not going to read any more there, but I want now Mark 1 and 35. I'm trying to get a foundation here for what I'm wanting. 1 and 35 of Mark. And it said, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now then, was the Lord led by the Spirit? Yes, he was. Now then, usually when a person gets to a certain age, they begin to get ambitious. And they start deciding what they want to do as a life's work. A doctor, lawyer, carpenter, the culinary field, own a business. But because they decide themselves what to do, sometimes they're not successful and they end up doing something else. End up doing something else. That has happened thousands upon thousands of times down through the years. There's some people that started into a trade or a business, a work, a field, and went all the way down their life. Never changed. Never was a carpenter all their life. They owned a business. Same business for many, many years. They became a doctor and they was a doctor all their life. I know of a case. We done a house one time. I may have done his office too. Anyway, this man was an internalist doctor and very successful. He wasn't happy with that. He decided to go back to college and become a lawyer too. He wanted two fields. Well, Lord help us here. It said now, was Christ led by the Spirit? Was he successful? How important was it for him to be led by the Spirit? Now then, how important? His mission was the most important mission ever. So he had to be praying for his every move. He didn't have much time to accomplish everything. So he and the Father worked very closely together to do everything perfect. Everything. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think the Lord missed one leading. I think he was exactly where he needed to be every time, every day. Because he only had so much time. Today, how much time do we have? Well, I got a lot of time, Brother Carl. I'm only 18 years old. Are you? How many 18-year-olds are in a cemetery? Well, I'm 35, or I'm 40, or I'm 50. Or maybe I'm older than that. But the bottom line is, Jesus had 3.5 years, basically, to start his ministry, to do everything he wanted to do, to finish it up, to ascend into heaven, to make the plan and set it into place, whereby you and I could have something that was never available before. But he had to have a perfect leading. He prayed all night to God. And he's looking and he's seeking and he's talking to the Lord. You know why? Because he's fixing to choose. He's fixing to name his 12 apostles. Was Judas one of them? Oh, today, Lord, help us to be led by that Spirit. To seek the Lord. This is a challenge to me too. Because there's so many places that we can go and so many things we can do. And sometimes there have been times in our lives that maybe we wanted to do something and the Lord stopped that and had us go do something else. Or maybe just the opposite. Maybe we wasn't wanting to do anything in particular and all of a sudden the Lord started working and we had to go do something. Brother Sammons used to say, he said, I'd get up in the morning and I'd say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What's your plan for the day? Lord, help us. Jesus, I believe he was right on time. Think about all the people that he dealt with. Think about he was a light. He was an example. His prayer was powerful. His preaching was like nobody had ever heard. The wisdom that he had comfort for people. He had compassion for people. He healed the sick. He performed miracles, fed thousands. He had salvation of souls. He casted out devils. He dealt with people like the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He raised the dead. Christ had a full mission. He had everything there, but he had to do everything just right. Because there's times he had to walk through and he had to be that light. There's times he had to know exactly where to be for that wisdom to be dealt with and talked to. There's times he had to be in the right place to feed the 4,000, 3,000, 5,000. He had to be there. Lord help us. He was right on time. How much is one soul worth? It's worth more than all the world. I have preached to one soul. Drove all the way to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Sister Mary Rogers, which was Brother Veda McMillan's sister, had been after us to come. And I couldn't, be honest with you, for some reason I couldn't get it figured in my mind just how to do it. And I was praying one morning, or one day, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is what I want you to do, child." And it clicked. I said, "There it is." And I jumped up and I ran in and said, "Wife." I said, I got it. She said, "What you got?" I said, "To go see Sister Mary Rogers and to preach to her and be in a meeting with her." She said, "Fine, let's go." No hesitation. I can tell Molly that. No hesitation. Let's go. She just said, "Well, when you want to go, we'll just go along with you. You know, ready to go, ready to stay, whatever, Carl." But the bottom line is, Jesus was right there. Jesus was the place that, because of Him and the Father, they knew what they were trying to accomplish. We don't know totally everything the Lord wants us to do. So consequently, we need to be led by that Spirit. We need to pray, "Lord, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go?" Well, his preaching was preaching like nobody had ever heard. What about Zacchaeus? I hadn't thought about this. What about Zacchaeus? He had heard about Jesus, no doubt. He knew there was a Christ. And Jesus was coming his way. What happened if Jesus had never come that way? What if he'd never come that way? The Lord led him to go right down by that tree that day. And Zacchaeus had climbed up in what, a sycamore tree? And was looking down. He couldn't see him standing on the ground. He was short of stature, I believe the Bible said. And the Lord come by. And he looked up. Why, knowing me, I'd have never saw the man. I am not a very observant person. But I tell you what, if you're led by the Spirit, the Lord can say to you, "Look up, child, look up." And there he was. And what happened? All the blessings. The blessings that Zacchaeus got. Oh, today, Lord, help us. There's a lot of blessings to get in being led by the Spirit of God. The things we do, Lord, reaching out and using us in small ways. Maybe just putting out tracks. Maybe it's common to run out of the print shop now. But the bottom line is there's been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of tracks that the people of God have put out. And one of them that we buried not too long ago, excuse me, Sister Lynn, Brother Frankie done it. And others of us have done it. I used to put them out at my service station, put them out at rest stop, put them out at service station where I'd stop and put those and do that. Why? Hoping somebody would come by and pick it up and say, "I found something." You may never know it. You may never hear of it. And yet they might have contacted at that time the print shop and said, "I'm so-and-so, and I met, I didn't meet, but I picked this track up and I've read it and I'm interested." I've said it's happened, Brother Willie, more than one time. Brother Curtis Williams, he was dealing, or he was driving down the road, just going. The Lord was working and helping him, and he's going down the road, and a man was standing outside, "Oh, Brother, it wasn't Golden Arbogast. Oh, what was his name? I never knew the man. But anyway, he was hitchhiking. And Brother Williams felt, if I remember right the story, Brother Williams felt impressed to stop and pick him up. And he did. And so Brother Williams had a tracker, or this brother had a track. Anyway, they done something. And I know what it was. Brother Williams had the track. He handed this brother, and this brother was reading it. And Brother Williams said something about, "What do you think about it?" He said, "Well, it's almost right." Almost right. That got Brother Curtis's ears. And he got into thinking. And he come out and he took a stand with the saints. Well, today some people say, well, that listen, folks, to be in the right place, Jesus was in the right place at the right time. He affected thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people because he done exactly what the Lord, the Father, wanted him to do. They were in constant, I would say almost constant contact in a sense. Him being led day in and day out, and the Lord working, and God working with His Son, and the Son working with the Father. Listen, folks, the Lord wants us to work with the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He wants all of us to deal and work at the same time. For many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Oh, I've been meditating on this deal about Christ. And get blessed thinking. Get blessed all that he done. All that he done. Now some people heard that he was there. What about the man that was carried and born of four? And they couldn't get in the door. And they went up on a roof. And they opened the roof up. And they let the man down right in front of Christ there. Right there in his area. Oh, they knew he was there. But the bottom line was he was exactly where God wanted him to be to preach to those people. To help those people. Oh, Lord, help us today. All right, let's go to... He prayed all night. He said the fields. Oh, saints, let us look out. There is still people out there that want the truth. There's still people out there that needs our help. Brother Marty and I have talked about this. And he said, Brother Carl... And I thought about doing it, but we did not do it at Shawnee at the time. But he said, if you could run an ad in the paper, not an ad, but I don't know what you call it. Anyway, in the religious section, let it be known we at the chapel there, we've got a meeting and so and everything. And let them know we preach the old time truth. He said there are people out there that still want holiness. There's people out there that still want the truth. And just let it be known that that's it. There's so many ways of being led by the Spirit of God. I've had it down through the years. And the Lord has worked and blessed. And then there's been times that I missed it. 1980, I was out in the field. I was up in Akron, Ohio. And I felt like the Lord would have me to go to, let me put it this way, I wanted to go to Dayton and hold a meeting. I think it was more me than the Lord at that point. And I wanted to go down there. Had people there I knew, I loved them. And we was in that meeting and I began to pray about it. I got serious in praying about it. And the Lord told me, said, don't go now. Don't go now. And the congregation at that point wouldn't tell me anything, but there's a reason that they didn't feel it was wise to have a meeting right at that time. And so the Lord led, and I told them my leadings, and they said, that's wise. That's wise. And then there's been times the Lord has led and told me, I want a certain meeting here, over there, whatever. Oh, today, be led by that Spirit. Look out on the fields. Look at the whiteness, so to speak. Look at what's out there. Look at those souls. Brother Leslie used to talk about going to the mall. You ever heard him talk about that? Going to the mall and just sitting and looking at people, watching them, how they done, how they acted, and so forth. You're walking down the deal. I've been in, I don't know how many malls in my day, in the install work and everything. And the Lord, He's interested in every soul, every place. Going down the road. Just driving down the road, look over at somebody in a car. That's a soul. In the stores, in the deals, wherever, walking down the street. Now, maybe not so much where I live out in the country. But the bottom, we're not way out in the country, but we're not right in town either. So you may not see anybody if you get out and take a walk. But the Lord wants us to be led by His Spirit. All right, let's go to 16 and 13 of John. John 16 and 13. 16:13 of John here. There'd be two places in John. One at 16:13, one in 14:26. Here, I'll just read 14:26 first. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Now he says here, he said, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Lord wants to educate us, if you want to use that word, or teach us. He wants us to learn the Bible. He wants us to know the doctrines. He wants us to know the truth. And so consequently, he shall teach you all things. Listen, the Bible talks about the word of belief being written on the fleshly tables of our heart. He gets that on there. And Brother Austin Wilson brought out a point one time. He said, well, that's like putting it on a hard drive on a computer. And then when you want it, you just bring it back up. He said, when the Lord writes the Word of God, the truths, the doctrine, and writes it on the fleshly tables of our heart, then when He's ready for it, He can just bring it back up. He can open it. He can reveal it to you. He can teach it to you. Listen, there's no better teacher than God. There's no better teacher than Christ and the Holy Ghost. They work together as a trio, as a team. They work together. The everything that the Father and the Son is wanting done, they channel it through the Holy Ghost, and He works with that. He teaches us that. He reveals and opens up. And bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, He can go back and just open that up. All right, 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. The Holy Spirit is able to reveal what's going to happen in certain situations. He can do it by dealing with us personally. There have been times that the Lord has revealed things to ministers and let them know, I want this preached at a certain meeting. Brother Larry Abbott done that one time. There have been others that have done that down through the years. And the Lord would reveal, He would work with, and He would let them know that this is to be taught to my people, to be brought out to my people. He will show you things to come. He will reveal things to you and I. Oh, Lord, help us to allow the Lord to do that. Now we sometimes think that it's not that important to be led by the Spirit like Christ was. But is it? Is it really? Let us lift up our eyes and look at a very sick society. Do they need the saints? Yes, they do. They need the Bible. They need God. They need the people of God to help them and to work with them. All right, let's move in for a little bit to the Acts, the 8th chapter. And let's get in here and see what the Lord would have for us. Acts, the 8th chapter, 26th verse here. Now, in a little bit of preview on this or context above this, Philip here was in a meeting. And he said there that Philip went down to the city, the 6 and 8 and 5. He said, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and they were lame, and they were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Great joy. Now, they were having a great meeting. The Lord was blessing in that meeting. All right, now then, he says here in the 26th verse, he said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, some things had happened in here. They'd sent two more ministers in, and Peter and John, I believe it was, had sent him in, and their first thing that they wanted to know is, It talks about, "Now when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard it, that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost." So these people here were getting a full dose, so to speak. They were getting everything the Lord was interested in giving to them to get them started well. And so the meeting had gone extremely well. Great joy, great blessings in the city. And then the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship. Now he was returning and sitting in his chariot and read his Elias, the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, how good was Monarch to you this year? At the end of the meeting, when Brother Michael was wrapping things up on that Sunday morning, preparing us, if you want to say it that way, or getting us ready to go to Brother Herschel's funeral, I wanted to stand up and say, "Brother Michael, this meeting has been so good. Why don't we go another week?" I don't know about you, but I was just filled and blessed to the brim with that meeting. It, to me, and I've been going there since 1975. I've missed one meeting in 1978 because I was going to a tent meeting in Kentucky to be with Brother Salmons and the congregation over there. And I would rank this as one of the best meetings they've ever had at Monarch. Now, I may be wrong, that could be just me, but others have said that. Wichita, we just come out of a Wichita meeting, talking to Brother Gracie. And he said, some people would say, "Hey, this is the best meeting we've ever had." He said, I don't know that I would say it's the best, but he said I would rank it in the top of some of the best we've ever had here at Wichita. It wasn't because of the ministers that was there and the saints that was there. The bottom line was the Lord was there. Monarch, the Lord was there. Guthrie, the Lord was there. And when you have meetings like that, it's nice to just continue on what you got. See, I go from blessing to blessing. If I go from one meeting to another meeting and the Lord is blessing, I just get blessing after blessing after blessing. Now, most people don't have that blessing that I get because of what I am and what I do. But the bottom line is, here Philip, he was in a great meeting. The Lord was blessing and working. He was delivering. He was saving. I believe spirits was cast out. And there's great joy in the city. And after everything was said and done, the Lord said, I want you to go down here. And when he got down there, he said, I want you to go over there and do that with one person. Would you do that? Would you go for one person? Would you go and preach to them, teach them, sing to them? Brother Murphy Allen, I believe it was in a meeting many years ago, and he was there, the Lord spoke to him one day, said, I want you to go preach on the street corner. Brother Murphy said, well, I got a problem, Lord, I don't have any backup. I don't have any singers, I don't have any helpers here, I don't have anybody. The Lord said, I want you to go. Brother Murphy got out and prayed at the altar to be sure his leading was right. He got up, he went, and he done what the Lord wanted him to do, and the Lord blessed him. Now, I don't know that he saw any visible signs of anything, but the bottom line is there's a blessing in doing to you, the Lord blessing you for what you do for him. No matter what you don't see. What about the old man that was in a chapel, and a preacher was led to go to this chapel? And he went to the chapel, and he walked in, and there wasn't nobody there. And he looked all around and he said, Lord, you want me to preach here? Yes. I give you the message. I want you to deliver it. And he goes, there ain't nobody here. He said, I want you to preach it. And he did. And there was a man hiding in that chapel, heard everything he said, and got saved later. And saw him at a meeting and come and told him what he had done. Oh, there's times that we don't fully see everything saying. But the bottom line, when God is leading, he's got a plan, he's got a way, he's got something in mind, and he wants us to follow him. The Lord help us right to the T, so to speak, that we don't miss Zacchaeus, or we don't miss this one or that one, that we're right on time and delivering exactly what God wants, because God is after a soul or after a body of people or whatever it might be. Brother Dries Miller. No, Dries Gibson. Went to Holly Hill. None of the saints had ever been to Holly Hill. He had never been there. He didn't know nobody there, if I remember right. Didn't know a soul there. And the Lord leading him. And he took him right to the chapel. Right to the chapel. And he went in. And began to make friends with the congregation there. And the Lord began to use him and bless him. And he held, meetings there. He worked there for several years. He was the first one. Now, General Sammons made the statement one time. He said, I've been out in places and thought I was the first one to get to this place to find out Brother Darius had already been there several years before. So, the bottom line is the Lord using Brother Darius and bringing Brother Sammons and Brother Curtis, Brother Tommy, whoever, bringing them right in behind him. Lord, to continue to preach. Bring out the truth. Oh, so here he is. The Lord has taken Philip down for one man. We went to see Sister Mary Rogers. It was just three of us. I was preaching to two, and one of them was bound to me in matrimony. And we were preaching, and we were on the side of a mountain called Sugar Mountain, if I remember right. But you know, the Lord was right there just as much as he was at Monarch. He had mercy and blessed. He had mercy and blessed his old boy. Oh, today, one soul is valuable. One soul is valuable, saints. And if we can have that one soul, just like Philip here, that soul was valuable. The Lord was wanting truth given to that man. He wanted him to see who Jesus Christ was. He wanted him to be able to get a hold of something he had never had before. Sent him down to one person. Praise God. Zacchaeus, there were people all around, but Zacchaeus was one person. All saints, be led of the Spirit of God. The Lord wants to use all of us, no matter who we are. If we're saved and sanctified, the Lord wants to use us to bless souls. I know of a minister's wife. Him and her husband, he was the pastor of the congregation, and a street or two back behind them was one of the couples of the congregation. And so one day, she told me this personally, and she said, Brother Carl said, I felt led to go back there and talk to this sister. So I think she called her. Are you at home? Yeah. She said, can I come visit you? Sure, come on. So she went back there, and they talked, and they prayed, and so forth. And then the minister's wife went back home, and the sister called her and said, you don't know what a blessing you've been. You give me exactly what I needed. That happens over and over. All right, let's go another step. There's ministers, pastors in particular, but evangelists some too, that they've had a burden on a certain line, and the Lord's working with that burden through the week. And there's either one or maybe two or three in the congregation that the Lord has been dealing with them on the same line. And they've got some questions, and maybe they don't quite understand things. And the pastor gets up and preaches a message, and they go to him and say, you answered my questions. Give me exactly what I needed. That's happened down through the years. God working by the Spirit. Oh, today, some people, they don't understand what all ministers go through. But the bottom line is, we spend hours sometimes studying and praying and begging God, Lord, what did you want? I'm not interested in what I want to preach. I'm interested in what He wants to preach, because I can't preach it to myself. If He don't do it, it ain't done. It's got to be Him. He's got to help. He's got to lead. He's got to guide and so forth. And so consequently, we spend hours. Just ask our wives. Just ask a minister's wives out there. What happened? Well, he'd been in his room studying all day, or been in the office studying, whatever. We're getting the mind of the Lord. That's what Jesus did, folks, because the fields were white in the harvest. There was lots of people out there that Jesus wanted to bless, that Jesus wanted to help. And he wanted his apostles and disciples, he wanted them to get a hold of everything that he had for them, and he was going to send them out. Just like Philip. Just like Philip. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then it said, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. But what did he do? He went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Oh, the people up in this chapter, there was great joy in the city because of what the Lord and Philip and them was doing in the meeting. Now, Brother Salmon told a story. Well, not a story, a real life happening. He was in West Virginia. He was holding a tent meeting. And he held several back there over the years. And he said this was one of the earliest ones that he had held. And he said the people were coming. He said the Lord was working. He said people were coming and getting saved and baptized and so forth. He said it was a blessed meeting. He said, well, he said, I think he was there a good week or maybe a little over. And the Lord was so blessing that if I remember right now, I believe the Lord was impressing him to go on with a meeting. But Monarch was coming. And he thought he had to be at Monarch, so he shut the tent meeting down and he went to Monarch. He said, he told me, and I don't know who all he's told, but he made the statement, he said, that's one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. He said, I didn't have to be at Monarch. Listen, old Brother Alvoy in South Carolina said, one monkey don't stop this show. I'm going to tell you today, one person don't stop Monarch. Having lost all the ministers, that might hinder a little bit. But if there's some of us there, there's enough by the Spirit of God that Monarch will go on. Oh, today, he said, I should have never shut that meeting down. I should have stayed right there. and kept preaching and teaching. Acts, the 9th chapter, 10th verse, 9 and 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise, and go unto the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man of how evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my sake. Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, not everything is going to be, how do you want to call it, just easy as pie. In other words, Ananias had heard some things. Saul had a reputation that wasn't good. And he wasn't so sure. He wanted to go in there and get thrown, jailed, whatever, killed. He didn't know. But the Lord said, He is a chosen vessel. And I want you to go. See, here's the thing. God knows what we don't know. What we need to do is be sure we follow the Spirit. Because the Lord said, I want you to go over here. And you may think, Lord, that's... No, I want you to go. I want you to put this track out. I want you to go knock on this door. I want you to talk to them. I want you to call them. I want you to go preach them, whatever it might be. And you may say, no, and there's a little hesitancy there. But the Lord knows what He's after. He knows who He can use. That's the thing. He knows who He can use. So consequently, He wants to use those, and He will take us and lead and guide and direct us into the very right place that the Lord wants Him to be, wants us to be as a body. Ananias did that. And out of that, Saul became Paul. And Paul became one of the greatest blessings at that time and still is. His word, His things that He has written and done, is a great blessing to those of us even today. There was one man one time, preacher. He was preaching in a certain congregation. There was a man there. And so he preached a lot about Paul's writings. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't think. I didn't hear it. But he told me about it later. We're close. He told me about it later. He said, I got through with it. And said, I was back at the door, was shaking some hands and speaking to people. And he said, one man come up to me and said, what you need to do is tear everything Paul wrote right out of the Bible. And the minister was so shocked, he didn't know what to say. And I don't think he even answered him, I don't think. But some people don't like some things, but the bottom line is, it's you and I's duty to do what He wants us to do. Where He wants us to go. All right, let's go to 9 of Acts, the 10th chapter, 10th verse. 9 and 10. No, that's the one I was just at. All right. Also, I want Galatians 1. Galatians 1 here and the 10th 10th verse. This is something that Paul wrote about himself. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited it in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Now then, I've been to grade school, middle school, high school, and some college. And I'm going to tell you, Brush Bible College is the best teaching you can get. In other words, that's what Brother Egbert used to call it. He said, I was in Brush Bible College. In other words, I got mine outside, down on my knees, praying and seeking God for what God would have in the truths of the Bible. Well, that's what Paul is saying. He went out and God taught him everything. He didn't get it by flesh and blood. He got it through the very Spirit of God teaching him and taking him and working with him. And then when he got where he wanted him, he sent him out. All right, one more to connect with this. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. It said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor in the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto his glory, to our glory. Said my speech was not preaching, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." He had the greatest teachers that anybody could have. And basically, all of us have that. I've known a minister making statements that they spent a lot of time praying, studying, fasting, of the doctrines of where the scriptures were and so forth, and memorizing and doing everything they could that they felt like the Lord wanted them to do, because they knew someday possibly that the Lord was going to take them and use them for something. So we wanted to know, and we spent hours and hours and hours in this Bible learning. And you can't learn it all overnight. It takes time. We've learned. All of us have learned some. But this is Paul. Paul. The Lord saved him, sanctified him. He was baptized. Then he went to the desert, so to speak. And God met him there. I was down praying one time, and the Lord came in the room with me. As a matter of fact, I was in a corner of the room. And just kind of over there all by myself, wasn't nobody in there when I first was in there. And the Lord come down and he started blessing me so richly. Just little old me and him. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had that you wondered what the Lord wanted you to do, where he wanted you to go, and so forth, and all of a sudden out of the clear blue he just revealed it to you? Like the deal in Chattanooga. And there's been others. When Guthrie, Sister Connie, when the pandemic was going on, we had that fall meeting. And I told Brother Philip I'd like to come. He said, fine, come on. Brother Marty's supposed to be here. And I don't know who else he might have mentioned. But anyway, I was looking to the Lord. I was double checking myself. I like to double check myself. And I said, Lord, do you want me to go to this meeting? Do you want me to be in this meeting in Guthrie? Is it your will? And he said, if they was having a camp meeting there, what would you do? I said, I would go. He said, go. Just like that, he makes it so plain that I want you to do this, child, or go here, do that. Lord, help us. Get down, learn, pray, fast, whatever you need to do. Some of it is not always easy to know the will of the Lord, where to go, what to do, tracks to pass out, or whatever it might be. It's not always easy, but the Lord will work with you and teach you. He spoke to my heart just plain. He spoke where I hear it with my ears, just plain. You're like a person standing by me. Like I said, he told me that time, he said, I want you to preach what I give you. He didn't tell me what I was going to be. He said, I just want you to preach what I give you. Oh, saints, today, Lord, help us to be led by the Spirit of God. We appreciate your time and attention this morning. Pray for me.